Welcome back to the MetaMakers podcast. This is Davis. I'm with Zach here from the Shrub and our guest, Joey Keys. Thank you for joining us,
Joey.
Joe Keys.
You're the only person that calls me Joey. It's okay.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
I'm Jody. Growing up, my name was Jody. No one at home where I grew up calls me Joe at all. They laugh. My dad is Joe in my hometown. So when people say Joe, they automatically think people are talking to my dad.
So
but
only
no
one
calls
me
Joey. Huh. Like, you're like the first in years. So don't stop. It's okay.
Okay, good, good. Right. So, Joey. How many people are in your band, and what do they play?
Well, right now I have a 9-piece band. We have drums, keyboards, 2 guitars, bass, percussion, and 3 horns.
Nice.
A lot of times I've been known to add to the horn section and add to the rhythm section. I've had up to 17 piece.
Wow.
In one show.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kind of like, what's that one?
Background singers every once in a while.
Snarky Puppy.
All right. Yeah.
They have like rotating members.
Uh huh.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really.
Yeah,
cool.
My band. I did an interview a couple weeks ago, and we've decided to call it some type of an internship.
Oh, wow.
So something like the kids that come through, yeah, it's like the funk internship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you said funk. What? How would you describe your music to people that haven't heard it?
I like to really just think it's good music.
Of course.
You know, I don't like labels too much, but it would be called funk to the average ear. If somebody just had to, you know, if you had to call it a genre. But with the horns in it, it draws a lot of jazz listeners. So which funk is? Funk is pretty much a fusion of all that stuff, funk. Like James Brown with Jimi Hendrix and Miles Davis at the same time, you know, that kind of thing.
So like, I've heard your music before, and there's a lot of soul, would you say? And, you know, listening to it draws a lot of emotion. And to you, like, what does that mean, being on stage and sharing that emotion? You know, what are you thinking about? And
well, I was influenced by the ministers when I was growing up. More for what you just said, how they touch people. I am not a Christian per se, but I like the rhythm of the minister's walk and the way he would
grabs your attention.
He grabs my attention, and I would notice the way the keyboard player, the piano player, the organist or whatever would respond to that. Whoa, okay. So I you know, my parents wasn't always happy about it, but I'd wait more for that part than the actual sermon. You know, I tune in on when everything got down, you know. But I did see that people were being moved.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I always liked love music and all that stuff. It's great. But I don't know that I've ever really been in love, really. So that's not where the music took me.
Yeah.
I've been in pain. I know that. So, and I knew the music is what got me out of my pain. So when I do a show and people come up to me afterwards and say they feel better than they felt when they got there, that's a beautiful thing for me, you know what I mean? So I just feel like I kind of did the work of the creator to help somebody get through something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. I really resonate with that. Personally, as a musician, I think a lot of really great songs come from pain and overcoming that pain, you know, and, you know, I feel like you've had a lot of experience and really cool experiences in your life, and it just feels powerful. So that's why I asked, is because I'm curious, you know, like what's going on in your mind.
Well, you know, a lot of times, you hear people accuse some of these rappers of, you know, or singers who are singing songs that were written for them.
Right, right.
Just because they could deliver it well, but they didn't necessarily live what they're singing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that made a difference. It's like Marvin Gaye. I don't know. I loved all the old Marvin Gaye love songs, but right. it wasn't until he got really radical and start doing drugs and taking himself through changes and singing about it and expressing himself that I really heard the difference in the sound.
Yeah.
I always say I love Motown, but I didn't really get into them until the psychedelic era of Motown.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I kind of got into it.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like expression sometimes can be its own entity in music, and how it affects people's performance or even their writing process, which I think is definitely a big part. Which, yeah, and it's neat hearing you say that, because I agree. You can almost hear some artists that even like my some of the influential artists in my life. I think you know, hey, they went through a time period, and I hear a change in their music, and a lot of times I'm accepting of it because I'm like, they're living that now. And it's neat to hear that. And it's like all part of the growth. A question I have for you is, when you're performing, is improv involved? And to what level do you, how do you feel about improv in terms of?
I love improv.
All right.
I come from the days of side one and side two.
Right.
Albums,
all right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been told I do it a little too much sometimes, that the crowd, you know, would rather hear certain, you know, one song may take a little long, be a little long for it,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
I also, the people that inspired me didn't care about what the crowd felt.
Right.
The crowd was there to see how you feel.
Yes, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
I like hearing that, yes. Yeah. So that's like pure expression.
Yeah,
truly.
It's pure expression, exactly. That was the music that inspired me on the spot.
Right.
I can see, like, these guys who had these hit records out. I have a song on my CD, Hoping and Praying. It's a great song. I'm tired of playing Hoping and Praying.
Right.
But when I go Stink Bug, people love the song Stink Bug. It's almost like I'm forced to play it in a show. I'm kind of tired of playing Stink Bug.
Right.
I want to play something else. So I want to play Stink Bug different. The song is recorded with a trombone solo, but I may want a keyboard solo on it.
Yeah.
Live. You know, I want to do what I feel. Not want to. I'm going to do what I feel.
Right,
on,
yes.
On the spot.
I love hearing that.
Yeah. But I've been criticized for it from time to time.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah. And it's interesting, too, because people sometimes show up to, like, shows and have expectations, and it's a tricky thing, because, like you said, they're there to see the artist performing, and by no means should the artist feel like they have to be limited or try to live up to expectations. Should just be able to do what they want and play what they want based on how they feel.
Mm-hmm. Pop music did that.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's what happened. Pop music, you became were in demand to play your latest song.
Yeah.
A lot of people say you're only as good as your latest song. When people go to the pop music thing, people go there to hear their jam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they will leave upset if you didn't play their jam.
Yeah.
You know, you may lose a fan for that, you know. Personally, I don't care.
I'm the same way, honestly. I'm not in for, you know, any of that, you know. Just
exactly,
trying to
like
stay true to myself.
Just being like that attracted that, you know, those types of listeners,
mm-hmm.
and those types of fans.
Mm-hmm.
The authenticity is
my next CD. I wanted to do, excuse me, cutting you off.
No, you're
my
good.
Next CD, I'm thinking of naming Joe Who You Got With You Today. Because I have this rotation of all these people. Which brings a different sound at every show. And if you read my bio, that's what it says. My show is going to be a different experience every time you come.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the same show you got. My guys in my band now, we have quite a few festivals booked for this summer. And they want to make a set list for the whole summer.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's a good idea if you had a hit song out.
Right.
Or, you know, I remember going to see bands that had a new album out. I would go see George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic have a new album out, and Miles Davis and Sun Ra, and you would not hear anything off of that new album.
Mm-hmm.
You may or you may not, let's put it that way.
It's, right, right.
All depends on how it felt that night, you
know.
Especially some of the jazz artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which are people who spoke to me through their instruments.
Right.
You know.
So if, say, like, not having a set list before shows, what kind of preparation do you usually put in? Like, what kind of things do you, are there any, like, any habits or any routines you go through to get ready for a show, just even just to get ready to perform, or I guess in terms of, like, those festivals or shows coming up?
I've been known to be called what they call a vibologist.
All right, I like that.
I'm a vibologist.
What is,
man,
a vibologist? A
vibologist is somebody who goes on the vibe. I can feel pretty much what the tempo needs to be. I can have a conversation with people like you guys, and all of a sudden I'd be like, yeah, okay. And something comes out of it. That's just something.
We need to start videoing these.
Something comes out of it, man, and it just happens.
Yeah,
happens all the time. And the guys are getting used to it. Sometimes it's a little frustrating for them because of rehearsals. We rehearse all these songs, and then the night of a gig, I'd be like, oh, no, play that other one that we rehearsed last year or whatever, you know. So, or you know, I've been sober for a while, but I have a history of addiction and stuff in my career. And sometimes if I see that I have a real receptive crowd, I may want to sing more about that. I want to just pour my life out.
Yeah.
I may need to personally pour my life out to get through the day. So that's where I might need to remind myself. There may be a lot of substances in the crowd or something.
Right.
So I have to sing anti-substance songs just to make me not do the fucking substance. Mm.
Yeah.
It's okay. This this podcast is already marked as parental advisory. You never know.
That's how you know it's real. You know?
Exactly.
It's
like we're not going to edit.
Okay, good. Do your thing, man.
Cool. So... Man, I've got questions, but you know, you're making me want to ask you about different things.
Go ahead, brother.
The pain, you know, because I relate to that. And so, do you have a story that you'd like to share about a time that you felt pain, that you overcome that pain, and that you might have written a song about it or shared through music?
Are you kidding me? Song "Hoping and Praying" was mostly written. In the mid-'80s, early 90s, when everybody was dying from AIDS. And I was watching people and I was wishing and hoping and praying that they would just make it a little bit longer, which at some point I thought might have been a little selfish, because on the other hand, I was hoping and praying that God would just take them because of their pain that they were in. You know what I mean? Just before I got sober, I couldn't listen. Everything I listened to was telling me to stop smoking crack. Miles Davis be, and all I heard was, stop smoking that shit. You know what I mean? That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So they spoke to me. I couldn't get away from it because of the music that I was listening to. I grew up, the sounds that I grew up with were just the opposite of what I was doing. So the same thing that made me laugh made me cry, type of thing. You know what I mean? So I got my laughter back, so I'm good.
Yeah. So we talk about, like, collaborative arts a lot, and, you know, music is an art. And so you know all about collaborative music, considering how many people have been in your band. How would you, like, inspire other people to just go out and do it? Because there's a lot of people that talk about, oh, I want to make music, or I want to do this art more. And We get caught up. So.
Well, I come from the days of band leaders. You guys have a lot of groups. Groups, I would imagine, a little harder, because everybody, it's hard to collaborate because of everybody not being on the same page.
Yeah.
Me, I'm going to choose people that you got to be on my page, because I'm the leader, and this is all about enhancing where I'm coming from. So I have to have people around me, and it doesn't always work. That's why I have a revolving door sometimes, because everybody comes in, doesn't necessarily want to have the band leader tell them, don't play that, do this, do that. So some people want to express the way they feel more than the way that I feel, which I understand, but it doesn't make the collective as well. So I just make it a point to get people who come to. I pray a lot, man. So I just ask the Creator to send me people who understand what this is all about and who want to enhance this, who understands my message and who ain't all strung out, or if you are strung out, you're trying to not be strung out any longer or something, you know. But I like to attract people who are in it for this more spiritual thing than just to jam out. Mm-hmm. I've had some really, really good players in my band, but they don't play well as a group, a lot of them. Some of them are the best soloists you ever want to hear in your life. I had a couple cats that are amazing, but you put a couple more guitarists with them or whatever, and then the ego and all that stuff starts happening. The unit I have right now, honestly, is I've had the band for 9 years, and this unit I have right now is the best collective that I've had.
That's cool.
Separately, they're probably just average musicians, but collectively, the sound that happens is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, like, we're in a special time in history where everybody wants everything delivered to their front door. We're a very individualistic society. We want things...
Microwave.
Instant life.
Packaged and shipped, you know? Directly to
What would you say? I mean, like...
Well, you gotta have patience, man. I've had that, too. There's some guys who... I'm 9 years in, so the guys who... And I'm just really getting started. I've been sober for 4 years, so the first 5 was a little hectic. Mm-hmm. And so the energy I was drawing was a little hectic. I always drew good players, but they would get frustrated at my madness, of course. Mm-hmm. And these kids your age, they're looking for the exit sign anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They, if it's just not happening fast enough. So... It all depends on what your idea of success is. If it's money, then my band ain't the band to be in. Mm. It's a band to be in to work for some money, but I'm not gonna do auto-tune and all that and get some cheesy rapper just to make some cash. I'm not saying if you guys said to me, "Hey Joe, listen to this, I got an idea that I wouldn't listen for," but that's not what I'm trying to attract. You know what I'm saying? Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it comes off like that.
Yeah, this is my, y'all, man, y'all kids, I feel sorry for the kids, man. It's more fun. You know, chasing a girl is more fun than catching her. It's the pursuit that's so much fun.
Yeah, that's true.
It really is the pursuit of anything. You know, to being nervous, you see a fine girl stand up on the wall, and you're wondering if you should ask her to dance, and this whole buildup goes on. And you go over to her and you ask her to dance, and she says yes, and your ass can't even dance. The yes just got you all messed up.
Yeah.
So, but the
forget the dance. Or maybe couldn't even dance, you know? That's true. Yeah.
So it's a pursuit. George Clinton said that. George Clinton once told me years ago, he told me, unless there's 11, stick with 9, but that'll keep you reaching for 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's no 11, what you gonna do after 10?
Yeah,
it's boring.
Yeah,
the pursuit is the happy part, man.
Yeah, that's true. I think I find like the best moments before you experience something is right before it happens. It's the build up, you know, because almost the potentials all exist.
Come on, man! The orgasm is all over.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Joey, what does late bloomer mean? Your band is Joe Keys.
It used to be called, originally it was Joe Keys, the Late Bloomer, and the Late Bloomer Band. We had to size the name down.
It was hard to put on the Beauty in the Backyard
marquee
flyer last
stuff, year. Yeah, exactly. I still have it on the T-shirts. I'm a late bloomer, man. Here I am sitting with you guys. I'm 58 years old. I'll be 59 this year, you know? That's the answer right there. I only been sober 4 years. Mm. So I'm just grew up recently, like yesterday.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
I mean, this is very inspirational for anyone at any point in their life.
Yeah. I that's what I've been trying to accept. It ain't over till it's over, man.
Yeah.
I was a DJ when I was young. I was a DJ at age 11.
Back when DJ actually meant
real live DJ.
Disc like scratch. Yeah.
I wasn't making beats. I wasn't making beats for people. No, I was DJ, played a record to the end, little battery operated fader over to the turntable. But I was also known, I'm kind of documented in New Jersey as one of the youngest DJs. I was known for flip sides. I didn't play hits back then. I always played the, I sold a lot of tapes. I used to make good money selling cassette tapes. Mm. And all the older guys would always want me to go to the concerts with them. They'd ask my parents, hey, can we take it? Because I knew the music. They would come to me, what's happening tonight, you know? Yo, Lil Keys, what's going on tonight? I'd be like, let me come, you know? They had to, my parents, and sometimes I snuck out, don't get it wrong, you know? But yeah, I was known to, like you were playing the ambient in the background, I knew how to enhance a party. I knew if it was a party that people wanted to chill and smoke weed and cigarettes and kick back. You know, back then a few other substances were pretty cool. You know, before the man, you know, once the man gets his hands on the substance, it's gone, it's done. This legal marijuana thing is probably a mistake. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's just once he gets it, it's something happens.
It's saturated.
Saturated, then they start sprinkling stuff on it, make it grow faster, blah, 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 blah. It just becomes a mess. But back then, everything was imported. Everything. Colombian weed, Mexican weed, Jamaican weed, Taiwan weed. There was no such thing as American weed back then. You know what I mean? Yeah. They were
true.
It was a freaking American grown pot. Every once in a while, somebody tried to grow some, but it really didn't amount to anything. And then all of a sudden, it became exotic, and some of the islands, Hawaii, and some of the places started getting that was how it happened. But back then, there was a lot of house parties, backyard parties. People, we were going to a dance club in New York called the Paradise Garage, which had no liquor license. So there was always fruit, and because everybody was high on other stuff. So, so alcohol really wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
You just dance, listen to music, kick back. So depending on what the vibe was, I could play the music for it.
That's cool.
You know, especially if everybody's a little buzzed, I could play some really crazy Ornette Coleman avant-garde jazz that just don't make no sense to the average ear. But they found themselves listening to it. I had a guy tell me when I was like 14, I played music for his party. He says, I don't know, man, the music, he was very rich. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't know, I just went out and spent $5,000 on paintings. The next day, he just felt all artsy, you know what I mean? So something happened.
That's wild. Yeah. I love hearing that, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so I got to ask. What does success mean to you?
I'm pretty successful right now, man. I'm 58 and still alive. That's success. I not only can pay Bill, I can spell Bill. Success to me does not mean financial success. To me, I'll take it. I buy lotto tickets, all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. This is successful to me right now. When I go on Facebook and tell my friends this is where I was at, they're going to say, you're doing it, man. You're doing it. Go ahead. So that's successful to me. When they say, man, you're doing your thing, man. Because you know what? My friends my age are doing nothing. They're done. They used to play guitar, or they used to do this, they used to do that. They're not doing much of it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what the late bloomer thing. I'm kind of born again.
Yeah.
And still doing it.
I shed my old skin and still doing it, man. So, you know.
Yeah.
But thanks to guys like y'all, you know, that's why I try to stay connected with the youth, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's success, man. So success is playing Beauty in the Backyard, man. Success success is grinding. That's to me. To not give up is success. It just is. Once you give up, you're done. So that's really what it is for me.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we talk about the generation gap, and I think we've already addressed some millennial issues and the tech generations. What pieces of advice do you have to those listening about doing it, about just living?
Well,
like you said, your friends your age that used to play guitar, there's people my age that are like that already.
Yeah, well, I feel sorry for them.
That's what I'm saying. So what
I suggest you don't stop your passion. I suggest you put a condom on and stop making babies before you can afford to take care of them. Or if your passion is more important than raising a child, then you shouldn't be raising no child. I don't have any biological children. Now, had I had children, maybe I wouldn't be sitting here with y'all. You know what I'm saying? So you go off another path. But if you know, a lot of people, we all blessed with something, especially here, man. Mm-hmm. There's people, of course, there's other countries where you're starving or whatever. We're pretty blessed here in America. We got some weird politics and shit going on.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty cool place to be born and raised here. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. So you can do your thing. If you know your blessing, I know what my blessing. Music has been my blessing. I bought records when I was 4 years old, 45s. I used to dance and the old winos out in front of the liquor stores and stuff. I set my music up and danced. They'd give me quarters and shit. And, you know, so a lot of y'all come from poor parenting. I come from a good family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My father's 87 years old. He's still trying to date. 87, brother. My pop still talking about, hey, girl, you know what I mean? To this day. My father had a stroke a couple weeks ago. Listen to me. My father had a stroke. It affected his talking. That's all it affected. When I walked into the hospital, he said to me, that nurse got a nice ass. 87.
It didn't stop him.
As long as you keep that attitude, that's a zest for life.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is a lot of times people give up on their zest for life. They're no more living. They're just existing. They're just getting up in the day, going through the everyday motion. So and whatever their blessing is, they tend to just put it to the side. Now, Dizzy Gillespie once told Miles Davis, when Miles Davis decided that he was just not going to play his horn anymore and just do drugs and just whatever, and Dizzy Gillespie went over and knocked on his door. This is a fact. This is in Miles' book. Dizzy Gillespie went over and knocked on his door and says, hey, man, you better pick that horn up. Miles, I pick it up when I get ready. He said, well, yeah, okay. You're going to mess around, pick it up, and not be able to play anymore because God gives you a gift. He can take it away as well. So a lot of these people with these gifts, sometime they just use their gift as a hobby. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people just use it as a hobby. But if you know it's your medicine, then you better use that gift. If you know it's your medicine, I know it's mine.
Yeah.
I know it is. I know that when I play music in my CD player or my record player or whatever, I know it makes the difference in my day. It just does. And I know that for a fact that the music does make a difference. I know for a fact that if you listen to a music that's talking about killing people all the time and stupid stuff, you're going to wind up stupid. You are the music you listen to. I'm sorry, that's how I feel. So that's why a lot of people, all these electronics, I understand this, you got they're keeping up and technology and all that stuff, but it's not as healing as the real instrument music is. It's just not.
Yeah.
When I was into drugs, I couldn't listen to CDs. Something about it. I just would mess with my ears and make my body twitch. But if I put a record on, I can relax. There's something about what they say, the frequencies are different from CDs and vinyl and stuff like that. So some of this stuff may be the reason for disease and all this stuff. You just don't know. Yeah. I can't get that deep because I don't know, but it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like people who listen to vinyl seem to be a little bit more healthier and relaxed about themselves. To this day, a lot of people are back. A lot of people, like you met a guys, and a lot of people who are on health kicks are listening to vinyl again because the frequencies seem to be healing for their body. That's a fact. So I'll stick with that. You're funny.
That's cool. The needle on my record player just broke, so I got to get a new needle. Do you have any late bloomer vinyl records?
That's my next move.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
Getting one. We're doing
vinyl. Mm-hmm. My next recording is going to be definitely vinyl, and I'm going to do a dance mix for the dance club, 12-inch.
I like that. I love hearing that.
Absolutely.
Well, yep. You think that'll be ready by October?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, it will
might
be.
Make a
October,
debut.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can talk about doing it as a release.
That sounds wonderful. That would be great.
Hey, man, meaningful. I love you guys, man. So, yeah. Yes. Hell yeah. That's yes, that.
Thank you, Joey. I appreciate that. And Joey. I'm glad that I can be the one that calls you Joey.
You are.
So, yeah, other than that, I mean, what other things are you looking forward to in the upcoming year after you're reborn again? You're 60-some years young. You've got
59 in June. Don't put no years on me. We add another now.
Well,
but I was born in 1960. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So do you have any anything you're excited for in the near future?
Just staying alive, man. I'm going to funerals, dude. Mm. I know that happens. We all got to go. But that is a hell of a reality. Some of the funerals I'm going to are people in their 90s. That's inspiring. I know this woman who passed away a couple weeks ago. She was a Sunday school teacher of mine. She's 106. She fixed dinner and said she was a little tired and went and laid down and died. I wouldn't mind going out like that. You know what I mean? Yo, fellas, let's have a little something to eat. See, you come in the room and I'm gone. That's an honor. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's peaceful. So, I would like that. I would like to have, like I said, my dad's 87. My mother passed away 20 years ago. Some longevity would be nice life-wise, but if I can just continue to do this, touch people, live my life, not go back to drugs, which it don't look like I ever will, I'm pretty much over that. If I can just continue to do that, I'm doing my job, man. Help these kids play some music. Keep these young people going. So, like I said, I don't have any biological kids, but you're all my damn kids. You know what I mean? So,
love hearing that. Yeah,
it's just like real. So that's what I want. I just want to keep on pushing, man. And I ain't no preacher, but I'm kind of a preacher. I ain't no teacher, but I'm kind of a teacher. Mm-hmm. So, I just that's my mission. Yeah. Like I said, I know what I've been given.
Yeah.
So I'm sure in the next year or so I'll have a whole. I've been through 60 musicians, a little bit more maybe.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you talked about having a gift. I think everybody has a gift as well. Mm-hmm. But for people that haven't found it, or people that don't think they have a gift, what would you say to those people?
They have one. They use it. Stop denying it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, I mean, they have one. I can't say what it is, but people kind of know what their gift is. They have people just have. We gotta refocus, man. We gotta stop worrying about what Trump doing and all that stuff. We gotta stop falling victim to the distractions and all that stuff. We're here, we chilling, three of us. We ain't nobody care what color we are, how old we are, how when we are, and it's. evil is so big and is so sellable. There's a lot of love in the world as well. There is.
Not televised.
It's not televised. It's just if love made money, it would be televised. If peace made money, there would be world peace. Problem with that, peace thing ain't no money in peace. It's just not. If you could sell it and bottle it, it'd be peace everywhere. That's just it just would, you know. We gotta stop tripping, man. And those people who are not on board, I don't know. Funkadelic had an album out a couple years ago called First You Gotta Shake the Gate. And that's what I do. I shake the gate sometime daily. And whoever falls off just falls off. I just shake the gate, man. I keep the negativity off me. Even when my own pops up, because I'm human, I shake it. I gotta travel light. I just have to. That's what I advise. Travel light, man. Stop, you know, I don't know. Don't with this legal marijuana thing, there's going to be marijuana abuse now. That's what they're going to do. That's part of the system. It's going to be marijuana rehabs. Cause rehab is big money. They already talking about it. They're opening up marijuana rehabs. Because now people are going to be doing too much of that. The man just keeps figuring out a way to make money on it. Make money. So I kind of advise people, instead of taking bipolar medicine, to smoke some weed, of course. But people got to find some peace of mind. But, you know, if you believe in God, you got to know evil exists too. So just got to keep the evil away from you. I don't care who it is, as far as I'm concerned. Family members, whatever. If they're not good for you, get them from around you. And the people who are good for you, do the best you can to bring them close to you. Get them in your life. That's, you know, that's so we can, because I believe that a positive vibe does heal. I believe that whoever listens to this will feel a little better. And if you feel a little better, you're going to make somebody else feel a little better. And it just goes on. It's like a rippling effect. You know what I mean? It just is, man. It's all to it. It's not that hard. It's called being human.
Mm-hmm. It's contagious.
It's contagious. All you got to do is, you know, can I tell a story?
Absolutely. All right, so
there's a song by Funkadelic called Cosmic Slop. I haven't told George Clinton this story yet, so I'm glad we're documenting it. So quite some time ago, 17 years ago or so, I was living in Annapolis, and I was a cold-blooded crackhead. Mm. Buddy of mine, crack friend, comes over. And we drive down to Riverdale, Maryland, get a hotel room, and we not far down the street is where the goodies are, gangs hanging out in front of this store, you can go get your stuff. I went and got it, we go back to the room, of course you run out, you're going to go get some more. So I'm driving this, he had like a Range Rover, one Land Rover, one of those nice, cheap friends. So I drive out and I pull up and I got Cosmic Slop live from the Tom Joyner show in Chicago playing loud. And I'm rocking it. And I pull up to this spot. All these hardheads are there. And you can see with some negative vibes going on. You don't care. I don't care. I'm going to get what I got to get. So this dude turns around. He points a gun at me. He said, "Turn that shit down." Another dude said, "No, man, turn it up. Turn it up." I turned it up, and the dude with the gun comes up to me. He said, "Man, I can't kill nobody with Cosmic Slop on, man." That's how beautiful. He said, "Man, you just saved his brother's life, man." He got in the car with me. He, like, gave me three mounts, the three times the mount that I was supposed to get. He was so glad that he didn't kill this guy.
Yeah.
But it was the music that I was playing. He said he just couldn't kill nobody with Cosmic Slop playing. That's how positive a vibe can be like that. It can make you put your gun down. You see?
It can save lives.
Saves lives. That's the testimony right there. You know what I mean?
Wow. So one last question for you, because I think that we're living in a very paradoxical universe in many ways. And we just talked about the United States and living in this country, so much opportunity. And I've been really blessed. I've gotten to see a lot of different countries. I've traveled a lot as a young kid growing up. And I've seen a lot of pain and suffering. I've seen a lot of luxury as well. And coming back to the United States, I know that there's so much opportunity, but all that's ever really televised is the fear and the hate and the divisions and separations and stuff like that. But you know, as well as I know, about how much opportunity there is and how beautiful and how much love is actually out there. And, you know, it's contagious, like you said. Hate is contagious. Love is also contagious. So what would you say to the person in their room alone trying to figure it out? They feel lost, trapped, you know, because it is paradoxical. It's in here, right?
Well, I believe in God. So I also have friends who are atheists who may not agree with my answer to that. But for me personally, you know, you got to find something outside of yourself that you can connect with. Something. I don't care what it is. You got to find some power from out there somewhere that can help you lead you to the right place, if that's where you're trying to go. If you're honestly trying to go somewhere positive, you will. If you really, really, it's not always easy. It took me 30 years to finally really stop doing drugs. 30 years ago is when I tried, when I first admitted, ooh, I got a problem here, man. But it took me 30 years. So, you know, but I kept, I'm fortunate that I would stop for a little while to get my health back or whatever, whatever. Everybody's not going to be there. I tell you, don't wait till you're 55 like I did, because everybody's not going to be a late bloomer. Yep. Everybody might not be built like that. Yeah. But if you just take a deep breath and meditate, you'll find some peace. And once you find that peace, your guidance will come. It's just going to come. You'll walk a little different. You'll attract different things. Your magnetism will bring different things. You might not really have been attracted to my vibe 20 years ago, even though you probably weren't even born 20 years ago. But you understand what I'm saying? But I had to nurture myself. That's what we have to do. We got to treat ourselves better. We got to eat right. We had a different day, man. You know, I saw a post that said, you know what my grandmother used to call organic food? Food. Yeah. You see? Now it's all, so it's different. You gotta learn how to treat your temple, your body. You just have to. I tell these young people, if you didn't get a chance to do cocaine and all that in the 70s and 80s, you missed out. Because it ain't real no more. It's a different day. Sorry, some of these commercial juices used to be probably pretty good juices years ago. Some of the meat that we ate years ago was probably decent meat. It's just not anymore. You just have to understand that it's a new day and connect yourself to the day that you're living. Stop living in the past and try and live like you're seeing people doing in the movies, because it's a movie. They're acting. That is what I suggest for people who's sitting around going, you know, what should I do? Most people who say that know what to do. They're scared. You got to get past all that fear and do it. That's all. Because there's a lot of them that's doing this. It's the ones that stuck you're talking about. Now, there is, you know, years ago, one of the presidents, Ronald Reagan, or one of them, they let all the people out of the mental institutions. They just opened the doors to the asylums and let everybody out. This is a fact. They closed down the mental institutions. Do you know what those people did when they got out? and made babies. So you got a bunch of people around here who are descendants of mental patients. Generations of people who are descendants of mental patients. So you got a lot of mental illness. This is why all these pills and all this stuff. I never heard of bipolar and all that when I was growing up. The teacher, I think my teacher wanted to give me some pills one time. My mother was like, no, learn how to teach. So what, my son is hyper. We're not calming my son down.
Yeah, well.
You teach him.
Wow.
That's the difference. But now they give you a pill because the teacher don't want to teach.
There's money behind those pills, too.
There's money behind the pills. So you just got all that stuff is what's going on, man. That's the problem with a lot of the growth.
What we need is some more healing music.
We need some more healing music.
That vinyl.
where can people find your music online?
Online, I'm on all the stuff. Yeah, all those. Yeah, Amazon.
We'll post all the links as well.
Yeah, we're on all everything you can find. We're on them. Latebloomerband.com, Facebook, Twitter, CD Baby, Amazon, Spotify, you know, all that stuff.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll drop the links as well. Yeah. Just so everyone has ease of access. Mm-hmm. Just click right through.
Check out the YouTube page, you know, all this stuff.
Nice. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, brother.
It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely.
And looking forward to October. Maybe yeah, man. You get the debut of your new.
Yeah, that's right. We'll hold off when we talk about it.
I'm serious.
Yeah, so am I.
We'll hold each other accountable for it.
Okay.
And as always, if you want to check out our events or anything else, our website is metacreative.world, M-E-T-T-A, creative.world, collaborative arts, inspiring sustainability. Thanks for listening.